I have to tell you that we love games at our house. We have an entire shelf full of board games and cards and all of the like, and we love games. In fact, for me, the more challenging the game is, the better, or so I thought. Until my kids came home talking about this game that they learned in youth group called Mao. Has anyone here ever heard of it? Well, let me tell you what, if you haven't, then you have truly been blessed by God. And if anyone ever asks you to play, run as fast as you can in the other direction. Mao is a card game played with a regular deck of cards, and the rules are simple. The only person who knows the rules is the dealer. The only way to learn the rules is to play, making mistake after mistake until, by observation, you learn a rule. Of course, then once you get past that rule, then there is the next one coming up, and you start all over again with no idea what you did wrong, why you're being penalized. And those lucky few who have played enough time to know what most of the rules are take great joy in watching you struggle along without a clue. And believe me, no one, absolutely no one, is going to help you. You have to figure it out on your own, and until you do, you are an outsider, alone and helpless. You want to play, you love games, you might even think that this is going to be fun. You believe, but then as you play, you try as well as you can to find the rules and conform to them, and so you try to behave in the right way, and if you are patient enough and play long enough, and believe me, there is not enough time in my life, then you will learn the rules and become one of the Mao select, and you belong. Now in the 1950s and 1960s, which by the way were the heyday for almost all of organized religion in this country, there was a pattern that was almost universally followed all over this country, or at least it seemed like it was. People all across the country woke up on Sunday morning, got dressed up in their Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, and then went to Sunday school and worship. And finally, you topped off the morning with a hearty lunch, or now brunch, at a local restaurant. And someone almost always invited the pastor, in case you were wondering. If you were new in town, one of the first things you would do would be to find a respectable church in a nice community and begin to attend. And sometime in the first few months, you would attend a new member class. And in that class, you were taught what it was that these, Methodists or Catholics or even Presbyterians believed. And at the end of the class, you would confess that you believed it as well. Now, you might have asked a few questions, but most of what you learned came from observation. People here dress in this way and not that way. They stand at the same times during worship. They appreciate a particular kind of music. They conduct themselves in a certain manner, so forth, so on. But once you felt like you had it all figured out, then you would join the church. You would become a member, and at that point, you officially belonged. So just like in the game Mao, you believed, and then you behaved, and then you belonged. Believe, behave, belong. That is the pattern of Mao, and as we look at the church a few years ago, we see that it was the pattern there as well. It is a wonderfully effective method of accepting and integrating people into a community. There is a problem, though. When it comes to the scriptures, there always is. Because when you pay attention to the way Jesus works, how he transformed confused and dubious individuals into disciples, you realize that Jesus never uses this particular pattern. Just look at how the disciples and Mary responded to the idea of Jesus' resurrection on that very first Easter morning. These were his closest friends and followers. They had spent years with him, and he had spoken with them many times about his death and resurrection. He had made analogies. He'd looked them right in the eyes and warned them of what was coming. They had even seen firsthand Jesus raise people from the dead. And yet, as they ran away from the tomb, the scripture tells us they still didn't understand. Mary even talks to two angels who reassure her that he is risen, but she still weeps and remains confused. So, my friends, if you are sitting here this Easter morning and you are not exactly sure how to behave, or you are not sure what you believe, or even if you believe, then listen to me closely. You are in the right place. Think about it, my friends. The people who were most in the know didn't know what was going on. They weren't even close to having it all figured out. Those who should have had their doctrine all nailed down, the ones who were supposed to know the rules of the game, the one who should have been displaying their behavior in a way that confirmed their steadfast faith, were not at all sure that any of it was real. They behaved like they didn't have a clue. And then this gardener comes into the story. And he goes up to Mary and he says her name. And with the simple sound of the call of her name, her eyes are opened and everything begins to fall into place for her, because with Jesus, the order of the pattern is reversed. It is no longer believe, behave, belong. Jesus turns things upside down. Because before you behave and believe with Jesus, you already belong. This is certainly important, so listen and don't miss it. God moves first. God says, I know who you are. I know your name. You belong to me. Jesus says, Mary, it's me. Think about that. Mary had met Jesus early in his ministry at a time when she was a mess. One of the Gospels tells us that he cast as many as 7 demons out of Mary. And now, I've never had that experience before, although my wife would tell you I'm possessed sometimes. But I doubt that having that done would be something that you would forget very quickly. But here Jesus stands before her, and for some reason, she doesn't recognize him. Even when he asks who she's looking for, she just doesn't see it, and maybe she can't see it. Maybe it has been too long since between the experience of being the one whose need was so desperate, the one who longed to be known and forgiven, and now maybe it has been too long and she's forgotten. Maybe she's been working so hard for so long to behave like the respectable woman she longs to be that the rules are now all she remembers. And then Jesus says her name. For me, that's the magic moment. My friends, my dear friends, here is my Easter confession. We could stay here all day and talk, and I don't really understand the resurrection at all. I am not sure that I ever will, and I don't think any of you will ever fully understand it either. And I know that none of us will ever behave in the way that we think we are supposed to all of the time. But I do know one thing, and this thing changes everything. Jesus knows your name. You belong. You have a place with God, and you have a place here in the family of God. No matter what your past, no matter what you're doing today, no matter what you believe, you are known by God, known by name. And you belong. We all belong. My friends, I think that is a very good place for us to start. Amen.